We are here to bring you everything and anything surrounding Porsche. I'm Mike.
I'm Aaron.
And this is P Car Talk. Hey, welcome to an episode of P Car Talk. I'm Mike.
And I'm Aaron.
Let's thank our people.
Let's do it. We have our P Car Club, slash Sriracha Boys. They will be getting hats sometime in Q2. We have Gabriel.
Sooner
P.
than later, though,
sooner
right?
Sooner than later.
Okay. Not like at the end of Q2, but sometime in Q2.
Somewhere around here. We'll see.
Maybe several weeks, right?
Maybe. Definitely commit to nothing.
Right. Yeah. I gave you so many generalities as possible.
I just need to start printing them. All right. We got Gabriel T, Matt Dub, Leslie N, Chris S, Steve J, Carl K, Ken S, Richard P, Aaron L, Matthew G, Matthew M, and Nick F.
Thank you guys so much. Become a member, get a hat, get swag, get gear. Plus, you help your boys out, keep us alive, keep us doing our things. We certainly appreciate you guys. Let's get on with the show.
Let's do it.
So, have you heard of this brand called Resvani?
I have not. I saw the name in the notes, and I'll say, okay.
So here's the thing. You do know them.
Okay.
You just don't know that you know them.
Okay.
And what you know them from is you have somewhere in our travels or even on your internet, you know, you have seen they make an armored truck SUV, but it's for the road.
Okay.
So it's bulletproof. It's usually like matte black or, I mean, it's really, really stands out. Like you look at it and you're like, who buys that shit type of thing.
Are they out of Miami? You know?
I think they're in California.
California, okay.
But they make the most gauche type of stuff. Like,
nice.
Basically, I know you've seen this stuff before, and it's the best way I can describe it. And I'm not trying to take a shot at their company. I'm just trying to describe what this vehicle is. Basically, you know those Lambo guys that do, like, the Tron livery on their cars where it, like, glows and all that kind of shit?
Mm.
This is like that. For like SUVs, essentially.
Okay.
But it doesn't look like that. It's like, it gives it like, it's a SWAT team type of vibe.
Oh, very, very much as a SWAT team type vibe.
But the type of people that buy them, I would imagine they're like, you have to be like Breaking Bad type of situation. Like, I don't know why anybody, unless you're a crime syndicate, has any type of idea, like Russian mob type people. Like, this screams that kind of stuff.
No,
like,
all
mob types. Like,
I can see that.
Like, why do you need a bomb-proof like vehicle? Like, no one needs it,
yeah.
But they're selling them, and they're making, and they have been making them for a little while now.
The reason I asked about Miami is I heard of. I don't know him. I don't think I know him.
There was one for sale in Tampa at European Exotic when Corey worked there. I think back when I took the 964 up there for some work, there was one in there, and I was like, holy shit, I've seen them in like.
Yeah.
You know, on the internet and stuff, but one was in there, and they're like, even the sales guys were like, yeah, I don't really know what we're going to do with that thing, man.
Secure.
But anyway, so now that was just company establishing. So they're dipping their foot into the 911 world is the point of me bringing this up. And they're doing it on the 992 chassis. They're not bulletproofing it. They're not going to do.
I was like a Safari that's going to be like standing the test of time.
That would be kind of cool, right? Like with like James Bondish with like rockets and like you know,
give me some cool stuff. I mean these trucks very much look. If you said the words Mad Max to anything, all of a sudden it just was like the most armored.
Yeah.
Ready to go to war thing.
Like doomsday type thing. Like if you are super wealthy, you're like, oh, I've got this part in my bunker in Colorado.
So
when I need to go out and run over zombies or radiated people, I have this thing.
So something similar to this is I saw a Unimog rolling down Central and parked.
Yeah.
Like it just parked in front of Hermezzo. I was like, oh.
Those are cool actually though. But I mean like those are, you know, those have been around forever.
Yeah, I know. But they're trucky and they're like kind of big bulky. That's kind of whatever.
Yeah. But this,
dude, these things are a little different.
Unimog's got nothing on that thing. Unimog doesn't have the armor that thing has. I don't even think our up armored Humvees when we were in Afghanistan before we switched to an MRAP has the amount of armor that has on it.
Probably not.
Anyways, they're going to the 911 world. So they're. And not going, they're dipping their foot. They're going to only make 50 examples. So I bring them up just to establish who they are. So our listeners, they probably know who I'm talking about now that I've described that SUV vehicle. So the cool thing about it is they're using the 992 chassis. They're going to make three different lines, basically a you know, a bottom level, if you can call it a bottom level, which is not really a base. They're using a Carrera S for that, a 992, which is an expensive car. And then they're doing a mid-level that they're going to basically build off of the GT3 line. And then they have the top level, which is they're building off the Turbo S line. So they're supposed to make 50 examples. This is supposed to be kind of a retro 935 look. If you Google this, you will see it. The renderings actually look kind of neat in a way, like a modern take on the 935 based off of that chassis. So I'll give you all the meat and potatoes of it, and then we can discuss our thoughts and stuff behind this. They didn't get into the high level, but they say the kits start at 150 grand, which I would imagine.
I mean, that doesn't seem terrible these days.
Yeah. Now, that's obviously you supplying the car.
Yeah.
So you bring your 100-something thousand-dollar car to them, and then they start to carbon fiber it and do their things at the wheels and the aero and the wings and the aero discs on the wheels and do their thing and do a little tune and all that kind of stuff. And so, and then, you know, you cook it for a little bit and voila, $150,000 later, you have one of these things. Yeah. It's funny. We were talking offline. We didn't record any of it because it was Tesla talk, but we talked about limited numbers. At least they're approaching this from a smart angle where they're only making 50 examples, because if you're making an unlimited amount of examples of these, I think they'll find 50 people as guests. Yeah, I guess is what I'm getting at.
I think so.
I think they're a company that's been around a while.
Yeah.
They have sold those SUVs to people. I guarantee they have 50 clients probably already that have bought vehicles from them, other vehicles that are probably ready to go with some of these already. So how do you feel about the design?
It looks kind of like a modern take on the Flakbau, like where it's like a flat nose style.
Mm-hmm.
I also wonder if, I mean, it's a little reminiscent of the Rennsport design, that new GTR release, just because it looks like every other race car they made.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care too much for the hood. I could leave that, but that's probably aero of some sort.
Yeah. Or at least you think it is, right?
Yeah, at least
you're looking at renderings of it, so.
Yeah, it's got the new, like, Taycan headlights, the new signature for the render. I mean, everything else looks cool.
I kind of put this into, like, and this is my comparison. It's no disrespect to Gambala or this current company, but I kind of feel it's, like, kind of like that, like a Gambala,
like
a Gambala kit where it's kind of extravagant
or a tech art,
like where it's out there, right?
Yeah. Where it changes things, but it doesn't really, like, you don't know, was this because of wind tunnel testing? Was this because somebody's design?
And I think there's a lot of, I don't want to say there's a lot of companies. There are some companies who do that, right? That are selling. You mentioned a few of them. But a few of those companies actually take it a little bit further because they've been in business for a while and they don't put it on the car if it actually isn't functional, right? Like I would say Brabus with their, whether you love it or hate it, their 911 Turbo S take that they ended up doing with their Turbo S, their first step into Porsche, stepping outside of Mercedes, they actually did spend a lot of money in R&D behind their development of their product as far as aero and stuff like that. There's a lot of aero that went into that car. And they actually track tested that. I didn't read anything about this being track tested. Oh, so much more downforce is going to happen. Yeah. I think this is more of a luxury style brand.
Be a little different.
Yeah, I think this is one of those. And I think Gambala was kind of that way. Now with some Gambala stuff, if you wanted to go far, they would do engine work for you. But a lot of those cars left with mainly just body work.
Yeah.
So I would think maybe kind of like, it didn't say anything, and maybe they're track capable. I don't know. There wasn't any information about that. So another, I mean, granted, they're not doing backdates and they're not doing old stuff, but now another group of people doing a Porsche redesign.
They're reimagining brand new things. Like,
yeah. Like trying to make new things look old, right? So.
Which is weird. Do you think that's a crazy trend? All of a sudden we're starting to see a lot of 935 throwbacks, not even just this, but like, wonder why, why we're seeing this all of a
sudden. I think everything ebb and flows, right? Yeah. So, and I think we are gonna run into a malaise era coming. It's coming very, very quickly. So in the 80s, if you think about it, you know, there was a lot of actual places that have closed up since then, but we've seen cars from the 80s that went through these, you know, they were really popular at the time, and like, oh, we made this body kit and we were doing this, and all brands, not even just like exotics. Yeah. I feel like the 80s were a very popular time to do body kits on cars. There were people doing all that stuff. Yeah, that's what I mean by that, Evan. Man. Now I feel like we're in that, and we're seeing a lot of bespoke companies doing like, oh, we're going to make our own body stuff. You know, we're going to bullet mold and we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Which I think is cool, like from a design perspective. I think it's neat.
Bright colors, bringing
everything back. Yeah, bringing everything back, right? So eventually I think the pocketbooks are going to tighten up, and a lot of these bespoke places, unfortunately, are going to dry up, right? Like that are doing all this stuff.
That may be why other people are jumping into Porsche stuff just because they have it, and they're like, hey, this seems like a pretty low thing.
Maybe some staying power, right?
Different avenue, streaming money.
So... interesting, yes. You almost think right now, I mean, based off of what everybody knows, I mean, I don't know why you would do this to a GT3 to begin with, just because maybe because you could and you're one of those like people that are like, oh, I'm just going to go and destroy a GT3, you know, like that you've...
Everybody has different taste. That's the thing. That's the problem. And I think that's where this fills a gap. Somebody's going to be like, that's awesome. Let's do it.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know. Maybe I see with a Carrera S, because then that's... it's just not as special, right? Like and not that GT3s are the most special thing in the world, because they're making a billion of them now. But I guess the point would be is like, even if you bag one, you know, because they still command a pretty high price tag, and then turn around, or even if you already own one, you turn around and I don't know, you doctor it all up to make it look. I don't feel like this is one of those Singer type things. Meaning, like, I'm gonna take a thing and spend money to do this with you, and now it's worth more. I think it has the reverse effect, actually. This one, I think, minus maybe the Carrera S, but like, you do this to a Turbo S or a GT3, it's going to be worth less. Maybe not immediately, but long term, there's no way that thing doesn't sink like a ship.
And there's no way you can reverse the body work and all that stuff. Like, it's not like, all right, cool, because this is going to be
this isn't like bolt-on stuff. Like, this is like, you're changing the whole body of the car, right? So you're basically taking a Turbo S, which already has a pretty, which is pretty nuts to think about. We've talked about this before. Yeah. We might as well discuss it since we're on the topic of it. And actually, of all the Porsches, if you actually do the numbers on where Turbo S's are as far as their diminished value and how they decline,
they lose
value so much faster than the other ones. And I think it's because they just have a high price tag. People want the new, and then that fades so fast.
Yeah, it's almost like that 2-year... 3-year period, and then it's like done. And then I mean, it doesn't hold.
Now, granted, they're totally different cars. They kept getting better and better. But prime example is MSRP on like a 16 or a 17, like fully specced out, was like 230-ish. Like 240-ish. Those cars are selling for 130 all day right now. So $100,000. So, and even like the newest ones were, you know, world beaters. They're still super fast. You couldn't get them. Remember, people, when they rolled that out, everybody wanted that. They created the hysteria, a GT3 hysteria with them. They were letting people PTS them. And then, you know, they were selling MSRP on them were like, what, 270? And then ADM was like another 100. So people were paying close to 400 for some of these. And then even more, if you had that allocation, if you were flipping it on the backside, I mean, I think I remember seeing some in the fives when they came out. When they were like in a super rare color, you know, almost like, oh, there's an amethyst one out there. Like, nobody has one and it just came out, you know, like, oh, I paid $500 for it. And now that car's worth, don't get me wrong, which is still a lot of money, you know, that car's worth like 280 now. But I mean, if you paid close to five in 2022 for it, and it's 2024, that's you lost a lot of money on that car.
There's a 2021 Turbo S for 219.
Yeah, so think about if you've paid four plus for that car.
And right now, if you buy 24, you're spending 257. So you're already like,
yeah. I'm just saying, like, initially,
miles, that's 10, yeah. Like, that's a 10,000 mile swing.
Yeah, yeah.
The one I was talking about, 13,000 miles. The 24 still has 3,000.
Just kind of nuts, right? Like, but anyways, it's a great car.
Yeah.
You know, we tangent like we always do.
But yeah, bodywork wise, if it gets finagled with, it's just not.
It's going to be worth even less
because it's still a name at the end of the day, whether it's a turbo or a GT car.
Yeah.
Carrera S. It's.
I mean, there's still going to always be a. That there's going to be a floor where that thing hits and then it's going to bounce back up, right? So it they're not going to endlessly keep falling. Like those 15s and 14s, I don't think they'll ever go unless here's the thing. I'm talking when I say things like this, I mean a no accident, no story car. So he's like, "Oh, I found a salvage titled one for like 70,000." Okay. Granted, if you want to spend 70 grand on something that's not worth 70 grand, that's fine. I'm talking about something that you can buy, you can register. There's no weird thing. You can get proper insurance for it, and you can turn around and sell it in a year and not have to be like, "Oh, well, I bought it from some, you know, salvage yard in New Jersey, and I did like the Matt Armstrong thing, and I like built the car, and then like it's actually better than a newer one. It's better now, but I'll sell it to you for 70. It's like, no, we're not talking about that shit. Yeah. We're talking about a real deal car here. I don't think they'll go below 90 because it's just too good of a car. I'm talking about a clean one, not like 150,000 miles on it. I'm talking about normal miles. Like even if it has 60, 70,000 miles, I don't think they'll go below 90. I think 90 is their bottom because even the 14s or 15s, we've test drove those. Yeah. They're fast as shit, man.
Yeah, and the 997s
those are untuned ones.
Yeah, the 997s are starting to pick up in price too for turbos.
Yeah.
So that means the 991s will probably
eventually be behind it. Yeah. I mean, and they're great cars. You can do so much with that car.
Yeah.
I mean, they're heavy. I wouldn't be excited to go to the mountains with it or track it, but everything else, I mean, us living in South Florida, I mean, that's a straightaway missile. You know, that's a missile car. I mean, we have friends that have them just because of that.
Yep.
I mean, Lockhart's one of them.
Yep.
You know, he's got a tune on it. I'm sure
Scott will have a tune on it.
They're fast. You know, they're fast. Well, I think personally, I think those tight roads up there, particularly for, like that's the newer turbo. Well, not even just that. It's too big of a car and heavy of a car for those roads. Personally, I'm not saying you can't drive those roads, but like at pace, like there's just, I don't care if it's all wheel drive and it has rear steer and it has all these things. It has all those cheater elements. Yes, it does. And it will help it.
Yeah.
But when, you know, we're on War Woman and that thing is 5 foot across and your tires are hanging off both sides of that road, that becomes a problem for you. Yeah. So, I mean, there is something said about having a narrow bodied car, you know, to like be able to sneak through some of that stuff.
Yet again, 997-23 is the best car ever. Thanks.
I'm not talking about just that. I'm just saying, like, I want a Turbo S.
Yeah,
I want one. I think they're great cars.
Speaking of Turbo S's, we saw somebody's car for sale recently. Your old one.
Oh yeah, that one. That I didn't even know over sale. You know, honestly, like, I bet that car was at a manageable price. Like, if I'd have known that, I might have made a move on that car. Like, I would have not had anywhere to put it. I'd probably been making a phone call to store it somewhere. But I would have loved. I told you I want that car back. I liked that car a lot. I really see like some form of turbo. Like, I've been. Again, we're tangenting, but it's fine.
That's fine.
Like, we were done with that topic, and I was going to move to another one anyways, but. I will have another turbo someday, not maybe this summer, but at some point. Now, which one? Man, it depends on what day of the week is. Because yesterday, I was looking at 930 turbos.
Okay.
The day before that, I was looking at 991 Turbo S's.
I was going to say, if you're in the market for something right now, I don't think the best value is in the 991 turbos.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. The older I get, though, like, I feel like for my fun cars... I thought I was like, and this is, again, you ask me tomorrow, I won't feel this way. But today is the day I feel like,
you want some manual.
Yeah. I'm like, if it's my special car, I don't want it to be a paddle. I don't want it to be a paddle car because I don't drive those cars every day. Like I drive an automatic Tiptronic Cayenne every day.
With air conditioning, with glove box cooling.
Yeah. hey, shit's no joke. Put your Red Bulls in there, cool them down. You'll be hot riding home, but the Red Bulls would be cool at least. But in all seriousness, the more and the older I get, and by the time I'm probably ready to move on a turbo,
yeah,
I will probably lean towards a manual. I'm already leaning towards it, but
what's the 930 turbo market like right now?
It's all over the place, man. All over the place. Like, you know, TMU cars, there's plenty of them out there because like they're analog dialed, you know, dashes, and people have done motor work. And like, if you don't know, like a lot of times those odometers stop working and they're like, oh, well, you know, 94, it stopped working and we didn't put a new one in until 99. So yeah, it's like 79,000 miles. Like, you mean like 179,000 miles, like one of those kind of deals. But
it's vintage, bro.
Now, a well-documented car, you know, you're looking at 150-ish and above.
That's where I thought they might have been.
Yeah. So, like, if you want to get one that has, I wouldn't say stories, but an uncharted background,
yeah,
you probably could bag one in the low 100s, maybe. If you could get a homie deal, probably high 90s, maybe.
Real homie.
Yeah. So, I would love to have one of those. If I find the right one, I might end up with one someday. But I think, my long story short, I'm probably going to end up with a manual turbo for me. It's just for me. Like, I like, so that's either
not 930. Manual swap.
Yeah. That would be crazy, right? Put a sequential in it. Man,
that would be a move.
Yeah, but it'll still, at the end of the day, like what it is. It's just society. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it'll still probably be cool. It'll just cost you a crap ton of money. Like,
yeah,
BBI can do anything for you, right? Or Emotion can do anything. Yeah. You know, like those guys can do anything for you if you really want it. But probably, you know, obviously 993s and 964 or 965, if you want to be technical, turbos.
Yeah.
They're in the stratosphere. I'm not paying $250,000 for basically. You know, I can't say that about a 993 because it's totally revamped. It's different. But, like, essentially is a 930 turbo in a 964 body for another 100 grand. As much as I like that look way better, I'm not going to do that. And plus, you are paying up for the transmission, which is a G50. But is that worth another 100 grand? Not in my book. Plus, I don't have that kind of money to burn. If I'm talking, you know, 250, I'm doing something great. Maybe that's not on the table anymore, right? Like if I'm shopping that kind of number, or I revert back to a 996, which I do love, you know, go hunt down a special one of those. I actually just saw a 996, no story, but it's gone now. It's sold because I was watching it. PTS Seal Gray for 150 grand, no accident car, had 55,000 miles on it. Didn't have the original wheels. It was a US car. It had HREs on it though, but I mean, you could go spend 18 grand and go get those hollow twists back on there. But the point is that car was 150. If I find one of those, a high mile GT2, I would do that for 150.
Okay.
So my point is I want a manual turbo. I'm not, you know, as much as I really don't want a 997, believe it or not. Okay. I like them.
I haven't driven one to know if there's a big difference.
They're fast. They look great. I don't know. I kind of want to, like, and if I bought a regular 996 or even a Turbo S 996, I would take it to Corey and I would have him take all the front end stuff out of it, like to make it rear wheel drive and get it tuned for that and have it set up for that. I really kind of just want a rear wheel drive turbo. I don't want an all wheel drive one. And I know, on the 997, it's complicated to do that geometry and the way they built that car. It's, I don't want to say impossible, but I heard it's very difficult, if not impossible, to do.
996 is literally like, I think 25 bolts or something like that. You take out the shaft and you're done.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, you can remove everything else out of the front if you want. But just literally disconnecting the shaft.
Well, point would be to take all of that out. Yeah. You know, to lighten up. Save the weight. Yeah, get that out of the car, you know, and then do a proper tune.
I wonder if you could take, I mean, because we know the difference.
You know, you got to put LSD in it now after that. But
get the uprights and everything. I wonder if you could really save the amount of poundage that they did from the factory, though, because that's 400 pounds difference. That's carbon fiber.
What I heard is if you do it the street way, like you take all that stuff out, you're saving 300 at least. So you're close. You're about 100 short, and that's where all that extra stuff comes in, like what you mentioned, carbon fiber and all that other stuff. But if you just take the crap out of it and all that stuff, and then set the car up right, like, you're taking about 300 pounds out of it. So more than likely, I'll probably end up in a 996 just because of the affordability. But nostalgia. if I can bag, I told you before on another episode, if I can really, ideally,
tell us white, again for the new listeners,
white slant nose.
Okay.
White slant nose, 930 turbo.
Man's move.
Yeah, with some fucking BBSs on there. Oof. Game over. Just pit vipers and mullet forever. Just driving around that car. Like, and I feel like that is more my car anyways. Not just the slant nose, but a 930 is more my car than a... I own a 996. I like them.
Well,
I
just it'd be cool to be something different.
I want the event. Yeah, I want the event of driving it like that. Those older turbos, you know, I want that lag. I want that pop.
Like, hey, is that a turbo look?
Yeah.
Exactly. Is that a turbo look?
I'd be like, yeah, I built it in my garage, dude. No, but yeah, that's my tour. So yeah, ask me tomorrow and I'll be like, Turbo S all day, bro. I doesn't make any sense. Like, I don't even know why I don't even have one of these right now. Like, I'm 991 Turbo S, all the money in the world. I pick one up for $110,000. They're world beaters. They are.
Yeah. I had a negative comment, but I mean, it's not negative. It was just like, I'm afraid that the way you got bored with your Cayenne is the way you would get bored over time with the turbo.
I know I would.
Because it's a relaxed state. It's fast, but it's relaxed.
Yeah, you're talking about like a 991. Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. I know I would.
Then you Safari and it'd be fine.
I probably wouldn't drive it that much after like the new effect of it.
Yeah.
You know, like the newness of it. Like, even if you need to go blast off a little bit every once in a while, I probably would. Or maybe I'd go the opposite way. I thought about this too, playing head games with myself. Maybe it's so good and so compliant, you drive it every day.
Yeah.
So there's
everything
that.
Else. Just have
I don't know about that, but then that turns into the daily and you're just kind of like, okay, well, I can just drive this every day.
I think it would serve for a good daily.
Yeah. But I don't need a daily. That's the thing is, like, I'm at the stage in my life where I'm trying to buy things. And just like you, if I make a large purchase, and probably a lot of people listening, like, that's why we all assimilate with each other. We all think alike, and you should be, because if you're thinking long-term wealth and you're thinking about parking money, yes, we spend money on stuff, but you don't want to keep spending the money. You want to be like, I want to buy the thing, and I just want to have the thing, and then that's it. Then I'm done with that thing.
Be content with that thing.
Yeah, be happy with that. You know, continue to mold or shape whatever that thing is that you have. That's fine. But not be like, oh, man, I bought this, and now I'm buying the new, you know, GTR. And you have that for you. Now I'm buying the new, you know, Performante. And I'm doing, you know, and that's fine if you're into that kind of stuff. But I'm not.
Yeah.
Like, I want to buy something and be like, man, you should have seen that turbo when I got it. That thing was a damn basket case. And now you have it, you know, it's like, man, that thing is hot now. It's like, yeah, it was a hot damn mess when I got it 10 years ago. But,
give them the boomer story. I paid 35 grand for this.
Exactly. Man, I bought this at the swap meet, man. Some dude was running on one cylinder. He didn't even know what he had, man.
Did a compression test right there.
Traded him a John Deere riding tractor. My three-legged dog.
I miss old Bob.
That damn thing got rid of him, though. Joke was on him. Yeah, so I think I'll probably end up somewhere in that realm. I think 930 more than likely, and I don't want to track it. I don't want to do any of this crazy stuff with it. I just want to have it for me to go drive it when I want to drive it, to make those turbo noises and to have that, you know, that popping noise where it, like, it has a natural pop, not the douchebag tune pop, like the actual real, like, oh, this is old school turbo. It doesn't have an exhaust. It's burning the excess fuel.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like the occasional.
My bumper's on fire again. Awesome.
Yeah, that kind of boom, boom. Yeah. You know, just a little ignites, a little bit of fire coming out. It's like, man, that's just intoxicating.
Yeah.
But speaking of old cars, Gunther Works, 1995 911 Carrera is for sale, secondhand. Has roughly approximately 2,300 miles on it. Ask on the car is 1.5 mil.
That doesn't say RS behind that.
No.
It doesn't say anything I'd want it to say. So it's just a normal, regular car? Or
it's a Gunther Works. I mean,
oh, it's a Gunther Works
car. Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, sorry. I thought you missed that part. Yeah.
No. I read that as like they just happen to have a 95 Carrera.
No. It's a Gunther Works car. Okay. Gunther Works built cars
makes
for
sense.
1.5.
Okay. It's used, though.
Secondhand. So obviously this is the ask. Who knows what somebody's going to pay? Yeah. Let's just assume somebody pays that.
100%.
So this just goes to show, again, even secondhand, if you're first to market to buy these cars because they're limited,
you're making money. Yeah.
Like that Singer, that's, you know.
Well, I mean, those two companies have established themselves in those certain models, and they have their group. And if you can't get in the group, you got to get in some way if you have pay to play.
Mm-hmm.
But that's insane.
So to put this in perspective, and then we'll spiral out to all of these other things on this topic that I want to discuss, because there's multiple. So hang on. There's a lot to unpack here. So there's a roof BTR in Miami Blue. 993 BTR.
I
think they made probably like 16 to 25. I'm just throwing a ballpark number. That's usually about their numbers.
Okay.
It's 25 or less usually, and sometimes way less than that. That car estimated, it's going to auction. Estimated on that car is 1.1.
Okay.
Huh?
That's something. Oh, but I don't know. I mean, but it's not. Yes, it is a redo, but I don't know. It's just different. I don't know if roof, because it is over in Germany, which you would think would carry more cachet.
Mm-hmm.
Than some of these other brands.
I think it would carry more cachet worldwide.
Yeah, but I think they haven't marketed themselves outside of the Yellowbird nearly as much as Singer and
Other works. I think maybe because they were the elder statesmen, they maybe felt they didn't have to. Maybe, and because of that, what you're bringing up, maybe there's a reflection in their price because of that. Maybe. But I feel like if you're in the know, like if you're deep in the weeds with Porsche, I feel like if you ask any of those people, and you know, no offense to Gunther or Singer or any of those people, I feel like those people are going to choose a roof instead. But that's just me. Like, I don't know. Do you feel that's the same? Like, if you're like, hey, Jeff Swart, you want a Gunther Works car or do you want a roof BTR? Like, and we're not gonna string you up if you say one or the other. Like, tell me in confidence. I feel like he's going to say roof.
I think it's the I wouldn't agree with you that it is the more in the know car and just a more simple choice as far as the tuner goes. What they do, it's well balanced.
Yeah,
it's a German take on the Japanese philosophy. Same type thing is what I would say. Is it's balanced versus a crazy redesign.
Yeah.
Of the platform.
And to not take anything away, I mean, these Gunther Works cars are totally reworked, right? Like all carbon, everything, bigger footprint up front. You know, they're proven that they can do it on the track. They can do it everywhere, right?
The modern stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess it's really just your preference at the end of the day. But a $400,000 Delta seems, you know, I don't know. That seems like a lot.
I mean, it is, but then maybe it's not in this world. And the other thing would be, why wouldn't there be more?
I mean, the ask on this car is Carrera GT money.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know how we feel about that.
But again, I mean, these things are limited just like everything else.
And again, no shot at Peter. Like, he obviously does great work. He has his people. Like, people are interested in their cars. Same thing with Singer. No shot on them. If I'm sitting there on the chalkboard and I'm sitting there putting cars up, and yes, we haven't driven either one of those, and I'm not saying they're bad or anything like that. Not even close to that. I'm just saying, like, I'm just comparing.
Straight numbers and numbers. The math doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I'm just comparing numbers on asks for things.
And I mean, like, you have a history there with roof. I mean, that's deep.
Yeah.
Gunther and Singer both. And anybody, for that matter, any retro person that's building something.
They're trailblazers in their own sector, right? Yeah. Like, so the 964,
which they have,
Singer's got, you know, Gunther's got the 993. They're trailblazers in that.
Yep.
You know, and then Roof's kind of doing whatever the newest thing is. They don't, you know, they've got their own car now, don't get me wrong, and that's those true. Sold out, you know, and they, to be fair, they look like 964s, like, that are bigger.
Yeah.
And more established, because that's the classic Porsche beauty line, and they're amazing cars, and they went for a lot of money. So maybe, to be fair, we compare that car to what Gunther were, and that car is selling for like $2.5 million.
Yeah, that makes more sense. So that's where when I looked up these, I was like, oh yeah. But then again,
but the only reason why I bring that one up though is because
year to year that makes
it's
more sense.
It's a 993 mm-hmm. roof BTR, and this yeah. is a 993. It's for sale from them. That's why that was the comparison, mm-hmm. the link between the two of them. I was like, these are two 993 cars. So yes, it was a 993. It was built in period.
One's a lot more steel and stuff like that. Yeah, the other one's
absolutely. Yeah. But I think there's something nostalgic of having something built in period too, I feel like. So I'm just kind of shocked that in the roof world, that seems like a lot of money.
And the fact
I would think that car would bring more money personally.
Yeah. And we talked about too, it's like they're able to revend their stuff once mm-hmm. they reproduce something to that level.
Yeah.
So then you have a roof VIN number where cool that somebody else made it or redid whatever they're going to do to the car.
Yeah.
Still,
yeah, and Roof has shown that they're going to be around because they still are.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, no, I'm not taking any shots against Singer or Gunther, but
it's true.
Are they going to be here in 10 years?
And they're
years?
Expanding, so.
Yeah, are they going to be here in 20 years? I don't know. Roof can say that. They've been here for 40 years.
Yep.
So longer than that, actually. But, I mean, building Roof cars, I mean, they're his, you know, Alloy's grandfather, which would be Alois's grandfather, started the business in the 60s. Yep. So, I mean, yes, they were just servicing cars back then. They didn't really start building their own cars till like the 80s, like officially. But yeah, I mean, so now let's dive in with this. So like there's roughly what 15 well-known Porsche backdate specialists, whatever you want to call them, right? Like all over the world.
Yeah.
And doing all different types of variants of what they're doing to the 911. You know, of those 15, there's probably five real big bespoke top dog houses.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of little smaller bespoke, and I don't want to take any, and I'm not going to go through and name them all.
There's a 16th coming up, Asphalt Killers.
They're going to build Porsches too?
I'll get there.
Oh, God. So, yeah, add them to the list. So the infinite mod list will happen, but my point of bringing the number up of them is, now I'm not talking like Honda Civics. I'm talking about places that'll build a car from start to finish, meaning like bodywork, interior, engine. That's what I'm talking about with these 15 houses. There's way more that do, oh, well, I'm going to send the engine off. Well, I'm going to do, oh, well, we don't do interior here, or we'll do this and then we'll do paint, or, you know, I'm talking about all of this shit done in house, like from bottom up, like we're going to build you this thing. And they almost have a name for their thing, what they call, right? Like, oh, we've got the, you know, the Theon, we've got this, you know, it's got its name.
Sidebar to that real quick. Do you prefer, or would you prefer somebody that built it all in house, or would you prefer that somebody that's perfected, they're like, all right, I'm not that good at this, and then I'd rather have you.
I'd rather do a one-stop shop. I would rather have a package. Like
that way, if you have an issue, you just go to them and like, hey, this is my problem.
Exactly. And be like, hey, you know, like the wiring for the engine harness, like, well, I didn't build the engine, bro. Like, so you need to talk to old Gamroth over there. I don't know what they did with that. Like, I don't even want to get into that. You're spending that kind of level of money. I would want to do everything in-house.
Right, back to our original topic.
Yeah.
Right.
But what my point is Porsches, which we already know, because, and I'm not talking about guys even just like you and I and our listeners that mod and hot rod our cars, because there's thousands of us that do that. That is a mod form of the Porsche, but I'm talking about Porsche has to be one of the most modded cars, like outside of like Honda fuckery, like essentially.
I mean, there's got to be Honda, Mustang, Porsche or 911.
Yeah, like, but I'm talking about like build houses.
Oh yeah, oh,
that's
yeah.
what I
oh,
that that's sure. what I was referring to. Like not like I'm not oh, talking about guys modern. Like us. Oh, I'm saying actual, like, because those are like, if let's break it down. Like, yes, it's a bespoke build. Yes, it's its own thing. But that is a modded car. Like that is a car that has been modified. Yes, it's been rebuilt, but it's a modified car. Like Porsche is really the only one brand, meaning like that type of car. People are doing these things too,
and then like we're still buying them. Like,
yeah,
we're like, you know what? Thanks for doing that. Here's another 100 grand.
Yeah, and it's interesting because there's people making millions of dollars doing this, like building bespoke cars that already have been around for a very long time. You know, G-body cars or whatever you want to.
You make a good point though with Porsche, because I didn't think about it from that perspective, and then I was like, oh yeah, now watching Larry. and Dino and everybody else in Japan go through all those different houses. Like, this is doing a house that's been around for 20, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Or Larry getting his skyline redone and,
yeah,
like, nut and bolt restoration. Like, that stuff exists there, but it's still a new concept.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the origin of that, yeah, place, though. Like, those cars are born there, so that makes sense for, mm-hmm, them, right? And all those parts, they didn't have the support, like, system that, I mean, Nissan just started making, they have their own, like, classic division,
yeah,
now,
yeah,
where they're making stuff for the older GTRs and stuff. They weren't doing that for the longest time, you know? Toyota's starting to do that now for the Supra, the older Supra, yeah, the Mark IV.
Do you think we're going to see more American builders? Like, we have Singer and Gunther Works. Well, there's not really been anybody else that I've heard of.
You mean for, like, Porsche stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine so. I mean, every time we turn around, it seems like there's a new one.
It's, like,
pops
it's
up,
always, right? Like, outside of the U.S. Like, yeah, they're building someone, yeah, Croatia, wherever.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe in those certain parts of the world, like, I feel maybe news doesn't travel as fast, and I feel like old 911s in those parts of the world, when you need a shell, or it's still relatively, right, cheap.
That's a good point.
I feel like in the U.S., the word's been out for a very long time. You know, the meme joke of, I know what I got. You know, you got like a 78, you know, or 75, yeah, S that's like totally clapped out, and people just want the shell, and they're like, I'll sell it to you for like 40 grand. You're like, the car doesn't even run, dude. I just need the shell. They're like, well, you got to buy the whole thing. You're like, I don't want that. Like, the motor is crap. It's blown up. The car has rust.
Yeah.
Like, we have to acid dip it. And we're like, well, the shell's 40 grand. Like, name another place that somebody goes and hunts down, or another brand hunts down shells. You know, that minus basically the boom era of, like, the Chargers. Remember, like, this, yeah, the early Chargers or the Hemi Cudas are like, well, this is a plum crazy purple. They only made one of these, and I know it's got a Swiss cheese chassis, but you dip this thing and rebuild it, man, it's going to be worth $10 million. You know, like, they were doing that.
And here's another Ven.
Yeah, exactly. They were doing, yeah, that crap in the late 90s, early 2000s, yeah, and they were selling them like crazy on Meekum and Barrett Jackson. Oh, yeah. And I'm sure everybody remembers, if you're a car enthusiast, what those things were going for. So maybe there is a little bit of something to that, you know, where they're kind of like, well, no matter what, like, you know, a Charger out sitting in a field that's been rusting for 50 years is still worth, the chassis alone is still worth, yeah, you know, 18 grand, even as falling apart.
Well, I mean, when it's the back to the thing, we know there's only a finite amount of those cars.
Yeah.
And even though they made a lot for any other car, like a lot for Porsches, it's still, that's how many they made. And
yeah.
That's what's
exactly.
Gonna be,
and you got to think about the attrition too for a long time. I think that goes by, and we've talked about it occasionally, but we don't really harp on it. But you got to think about it for a long time. When they were making air cools, they were making air cools, and everybody thought they were always going to make air cools, right? Mm-hmm. And then one day that stopped. And then that changed the dynamic of those older cars and started, that alone started making them a little bit more value.
Yep.
But it still took a long time for the non-value ones, like even when that clicked over to water cooled, and that wasn't that long ago. We're talking like 20 years ago,
yeah,
like early 2000s. I mean, you could buy SCs for like $8,000, you know? And now people are selling clapped out SCs for $75,000. So that just shows you over time and attrition, build outs, crashes, whatever, like, yeah, they start to dry up. It, you know, you do the numbers on any of those cars, worldwide numbers as far as how many they built, hundreds of thousands of them, hundreds. Yeah. You're like, where are they all then? Where are they? I mean, like, I'm talking about like crazy numbers. Like, you see them when you go to Porsche events, but I'm just saying, like, does everyone have one in their garage and just no one's talking about it? Because from the numbers, everybody in the world should have one. It's a car enthusiast, because there's not that many car enthusiasts out there.
I mean, you would think so, but you never. But again, like, you and I talk about this too, meetups and things. We see Porsches all the time here that we've never seen in our lives.
Oh, yeah.
So there's that. They're just hidden.
Of course. There's tons of people that still, and we're not alone in that. Any city you live in, it's like that. Yeah. You go to California, there's like, oh, I've never seen that car before. I've never seen that car. And there's millions of them out there. You go to Georgia, it's the same thing.
We have to figure out what all these hermit Porsche collectors are.
Well, I think for the longest time, it wasn't in vogue, right? Like, people just wanted one to have one,
yeah,
because it was for them. It wasn't for this, what, right, we're doing even right now, this podcast stuff. Like, the all of the merch industry, like all of the stuff that's sprouted up over the last 15 years behind Porsche, like that's still relatively new. Like it used to be like, hey, was you go to a PCA event maybe once a year and, you know, and you got your Porsche and you, you know, wash it and you go drive around the neighborhood once a month, you know, or, you know, take it down for a little cruise and that was it. And then you put it away and then you do it again next month. Like there's a lot of elderly guys that still have them that are still alive that maybe aren't cruising anymore, but were doing that in the 90s and early 2000s when we were still very young men and not really paying attention to that stuff. You know, and that and it wasn't a special car for them. Like, I mean, it was special to them, but it wasn't special in the sense of price, where they, you know, they could live a normal life and still justify buying, oh, hey, babe, I saved a little bit of money. I've always wanted a Porsche 911. I'm going to buy a 1982 SC in white because I remember when I was a teenager, I saw one of those and I wanted one. Oh, the guy, you know, breaks the bank and spends 11 grand and buys a white 1982 SC, right? In like 2003. That's not breaking the bank. It's like that was an affordable time. That's like buying a VW comparison, like a 1956 VW Beetle or something like that. Yeah. It's like, oh, okay, nobody wants that thing. Yeah, why do you want that junky Porsche? It's like, well, I think it's cool, and this is, you know, what I...
It's for me.
When I get in that car, this is the time machine for me, you know, and that ship set sail. I mean, it was actually had set sail prior to 2020. It just accelerated it then, you know, with the COVID thing. You know, we... been doing this podcast long enough, we were talking about that. They're like, man, they're just up and up and up. You just don't think they could happen. And it just, the next thing,
it's every day.
Yeah, you see another one set a record and you're like, are you kidding me? Somebody just paid, you know, $160,000 for a 964. It's got 144,000 miles on it.
There's like, still what? Some gems though every once in a while, because a couple of our friends have scooped up stuff where it's...
Yeah, but you have to know the right people for that, right? And like, you almost have to put a headhunter on that deal to go find you something.
I know elderly whisperer. I don't know what to call him. Mel. Okay. Like, he knows everybody.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, so it's funny. Okay, so we covet these cars, right?
Circling back, yeah.
We covet. Yeah, I got to close on this. So we covet these cars. All these builders are doing all this stuff. You know, to close on the topic earlier, the Gambala stuff, all of this stuff. So, like, we see this stuff now, the roof stuff now. We covet this because we're car enthusiasts. All these other people, it's like, oh, man, I remember that tuner house. They did this. They did that. Do you feel that this generation of kids, meaning, like, way younger than us, obviously, like, the impressionable ones, like 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, driving age, whatever, 16 years old, that are seeing the Singers, the Gunther Works, the Theons, and the... who's ever building cars right now, when they get to our age, are they going to be like, oh, my God, I remember those Singers. Those, like, everybody paid so much for those back then. Oh, I got to have me one of those. Do you feel like there's going to be that enthusiasm still for them? Or is it going to be one of those things where it's like, man, I remember those. Man, they were, like, a cool thing for a while. And then it's kind of, I don't know, like, I don't know why people were paying so much for them. Is it going to be one of those things?
I think it's going to be a lot. I think you're, it's going to be the latter. It's going to be a look back, and it's going to be like, well, that's cool, but...
Yeah.
It's not this.
Because they're going to drive the price, right? Like, almost kind of like our generation's kind of driving the price on the baby boomer stuff, or even the prior or the pre-war stuff, right? Like Duesenbergs and all that
there's
stuff.
Not
like
a market,
we
no
have
money
no
for
interest
it,
in that, right? You couldn't buy one of those if you were a baby boomer for any sum of money back in the day, because those were like coveted, those pre-war like super super nice ones, and but like went through the period of everybody's like, hey, my grandpa had this. He was his prize joy, and you know it was worth like $10 million at one point. And somebody's like, "Well, I'll give you $300,000 for it." And it was like, "What do you mean?" It's like nobody wants it, dude.
Yeah.
Like, it's supply and demand, right? Like, it turns into one of those things. So, like, 100%. I guess my question is, do you feel like all these specialty, or we think that are special, like, oh my God, 964s are so great, and then these kids are going to turn 45 years old that are like 15 years old now and be like, dude, that thing's a junk box, man. It's loud. It's slow. It leaks oil. I'm in my spaceship, bro. Yeah. I don't want that thing. And they're going to be worth pennies on the dollar. Do you think that's going to happen for like all
of
these?
I mean, at some point, yes, but because I guess it's going
to
be a generation.
We probably won't be alive to see it, right?
No, it's going to be a generation. Or there'll still be a diehard group, but I don't think it's going to be as big as it is now. I think we're probably peak, like gas powered. Car culture, like close to it, I would think.
Yeah.
Like at this stage, until it's moved into the full EV world and then flying cars when we get there.
Well, here's what I thought about it too, though. It may not drop off for two reasons. If they really do, well, I don't think we'll end up with EVs. We've already talked about that. I think we'll live in some like hybrid world where we'll have hybrid engines with combustion engines living together. So there'll be a pre-hybrid era, which we're currently in. Meaning like, yes, I know they're around, but I'm talking about where everything ceased to exist, where it's not assisted by a hybrid engine. Mm-hmm. That will come, I think, at some point. And then we're going to keep making people, obviously. The globe is going to keep getting more populated.
That's the goal.
And there's going to be less of those cars. So I think there's going to actually be a fair amount of enthusiasm still for... I think there'll even be a generation that'll turn back the clock and go like, man, I am into those pre-war cars. And I think there'll be a resurgence with those cars because you know how trendy some of these young kids are. They're like, they'll be, you know, be like, it'll be 2050 and they're wearing like, you know, the flapper hats and suspenders. Yeah, and it's like, what are you doing, dude? Like, you can fly. They're like, man, I like these old cars. You got to crank start them in the front, you know? And like, it's going to be like they want to live that, but they want to kind of.
Gen Alpha's rolling a Duesenberg to the school.
Yeah, but I'm just talking. No, not even just that. I'm almost like as a nostalgia flex, right? Like where it's kind of like, yes, everything in your house is modern tech, but then you got like a, you know, buttercup yellow Duesenberg drop top in your garage in 2050, like where it's kind of like, holy crap. You know, I think there will be a time where those come back, in my personal opinion, not from a drivability standpoint, but almost like a museum piece where it's like a brag to say like, wow, that's what cars used to look like. Holy crap, dude. Like, why is it so long? Like, why are the tires so tall? Like, this thing is so weird.
Where do you even buy anything for it?
And it's like, well, this is from the 1930s, dude. And it's like, holy crap, that car's that old. You know, I think it's going to be one of those things.
I can see that.
So I think they'll have their day again. Like, most of those cars already, for the longest time, lived on golf courses anyways. They weren't cruising around.
I mean, the best ones are the ones that are left.
Yeah, exactly. But all, like, you know, the normal ones, right? It's like, oh, it's like a perfect Model T with no miles on it. It's like, junk.
Like, now it's electric. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah. It's like, turn it all the way back. 1908, make it full electric again.
Or steam-powered. It's great.
Yeah. But no, I think it was an interesting, like, it made me think of like our era, thinking about things that were made in the 80s that we saw and we're like, man, that's so wild, you know, like these weird, crazy cars like Vector and all these like weird things that we saw. And it was like, are these going to be the weird things that the younger kids are going to think that it's like, man, I remember those weird cars. Remember, you know, Brabus made a Turbo S, like that thing looked like a spider or whatever. And it was like, yeah, I think, who knows? I guess time will tell, right?
I guess every generation has their, like, weird things that happened.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, you live long enough at some point, right? Like, unless you're, like, you know, you could be an in-betweener, right? Like, where you're just kind of like, yeah, that kind of happened, like, where I was out of cars or I wasn't into cars, and, yeah, I don't really know about those. I'm not into that kind of thing. I think there's a lot of new collectors getting into cars, like young collectors. I mean, not even, I shouldn't say new, because you can be new and never had cars and be old. I think young collectors, like young money. You know, we are curated a proven point that there's a market for it.
Yeah.
You know, they're finding specialty Murcielagos and Diablos and all of those kinds of cars where I think they've given them a certain kind of cachet where, for the longest time, they were kind of frowned upon, right? It's like, oh, you got a Lambo, dude. You're like, you're a douche, right? Like, I didn't know that, but now that you told me you've got one, like, you are a douche. But I think on those specialty ones, meaning like special colors, you know, like we're talking about like
special teams.
Yeah, we're talking about Diablo VTs and stuff like that. They're not talking about run of the mill, like, I guess, classless like setups.
Yeah, they're approaching it from the point like this is special, but it's even specialer. More special for this reason.
Yeah.
Like it was owned by somebody or...
Yeah, and the color or whatever. Color, and like, oh, they only ever made 16 of it. They're still taking the limited approach to it. They're not just saying, oh, yeah, they're just not buying every Murcielago that exists. They're not buying every, you know, Diablo that ever existed and turning around and saying they're all gold, because they're not. they're taking the ones that are, and they're saying this is why it's gold because of this.
Yeah, I don't think I think they are. They're maybe one of the few that's doing that, if not the only person that's really
and to be
like, as their name would imply, curating what they're buying and not just have a bunch of random.
And to be fair, it's they're not restricted to Lamborghini. Like they're buying AMG Hammers from the 80s. You know, they're scooping all of those up. They're cornering the market on a market that really wasn't cornered at one point. Like they're bringing them all in house and saying, this is what we're doing and this is what we're known for. And I think they're grabbing a lot of traction. They've been in business for a long time, so I'm not saying like, but their traction, I feel like from when we knew Vinny worked there, I knew they existed before even Vinny worked there, but since Vinny, even before he started working there and then after since he's left, I feel like their traction has tripled since then.
Yeah, I think that's just more of their marketing.
Yeah, and their impact, too, and what they're bringing in.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Plus, but, I mean, it's like that stuff is...
You know, them too. They're selling specialty roof cars that they find because they know those are special, and they know there's a market for that, and their clients want those kind of cars, RMCs, you know? So I think it's just going to be an interesting time. I think there'll be a lull at some point, but we'll probably be dead when that happens, or people are going to be like... Yeah, I don't want that junky thing. It makes too much noise. But
who put this livery on here?
Yeah. What kind of ass clown still smokes cigarettes?
You know, that's a predominant question. Yeah. You must love some of them Marlboro Reds.
Why don't you vape, bro? What are you doing? Step your game up.
You just see a big giant cloud under Mike's car from now on for no reason.
All right, let's take a break and let's go to the money side and talk about some cool stuff over there for our paying customers.
Now that's patreon.com/bcartalk. All right, we're back.
All right. So how's the Boxster treating you guys?
It's wonderful. Wow, is it? My favorite thing in the whole wide world.
Sense some sarcasm here.
That was good. Okay. I thought it. I just blown a water pump the other day. That was a fun experience. Turns out no. That's it was well, something way simpler. I had. Hey, it's Aaron, and I want to just thank you for listening to the podcast. There's actually more of the podcast. We do a whole other half, if not more, depending on what the topics are, over on patreon.com/speakartalk. Join the club, hear more of the podcast, be entered for the giveaways, be entered to get in the drive. There's a lot more that comes with it. So again, if you want to support even more than you do, you can go to the website, like I mentioned, patreon.com/speakartalk, and you'll be on your way. Thank you.